title of the show today is cooking and baking in a single oven. That's cooking meat and milk either simultaneously or one after the other. Is it mutter, is it also? I mean, nobody would dream to cook meat and milk in the same pot. You're cooking meat and milk together, or even consecutively. First you cook meat, you make the pot fly shit, you can't cook milk after that, it's a flash of the pot. Is it mutter in an oven to cook meat and milk? This shaila has been discussed by many, many poskim. One has to get parameters clear, when is it mutter, when is it asur. In fact, if you look back at the early poskim 100 years ago, 150 years ago, the Tzivos Maharsham and others, it was clear that in the olden days, the Taki used to only have one oven, and when they used it properly, it was permitted to cook meat and milk. It could be, the poskim say, nowadays, times are different, poverty was the order of the day at the time, they couldn't afford two ovens, but today people, they invest a lot of money in kitchens, there may be an argument that nowadays, one should be saying that Chachkele to have two ovens, but it's negia for those people who have one oven, you go on holiday, so yeah, to trace our ovens and such like, one has to know the parameters. There are ba'etzim three shailas which are negia when one cooks, when one uses one oven. One is actually cooking meat and milk together, physically, whether they physically touch meat and milk, as we'll see in a minute. The other shaila is a question of sugya in the Gemara Sochem of Recha. Recha is a concept of aroma, all food that give off a certain aroma. And is that what the Gemara calls Recha? Is Recha milti, Recha lav milti? Do we say that even if the meat and milk don't touch at all, but the fact is that the meat or the milk, they give off a certain aroma, has that got a din of the milk of the meat, and will therefore asa, the meat will after the milk, the milk will after the meat. And the third shaila is a question of zeya, not aroma, zeya. Zeya is what we call steam. Food, when they cook it, they produce a steam. What's the din of that steam? We'll take it one at a time. The question of meat and milk, everybody knows one cannot cook meat and milk together in a pot, because when one cooks meat and milk together, the milk will give tam, its own taste, into the meat and vice versa. And cooking meat and milk when they physically touch, or in a liquid, one has milk and meat cooked together in a liquid, the milk and the meat will give tam to each other because they physically touch each other, either directly when they get roasted together or via liquid, and the meat will give a taste into the milk. That's definitely also both meat and milk, or trade food and kosher food, if they physically touch or via liquid, they're all connected, that clearly they're after each other. That's the sugya of tam ki ikka. When they physically touch, the taste of one goes into the other. It's not only between two foods, the taste also goes into a keli. If you cook meat in a keli, then the taste from the meat will actually penetrate, will get absorbed into the keli, and the keli will become a meaty keli. If subsequently you cook something else in it, the meaty taste from the keli will be extracted from the keli and go, if you cook milk in a meaty pot, then the taste of the meat from the pot will go into the milk. The only time tastes don't get transferred is by two kelim. Two kelim, a meaty kelim and a milky kelim, that actually touch each other without a lot of liquid in between the two kelim, then the taste inside one kelim will not get transferred to another kelim. It's from food to food, it's from food to kelim and vice versa, but not between two kelim. And it's for that reason, a lot of people, when it comes to a pan rest on top of a hob or gas stove, they usually put meaty pot and milky pot on top of a pan rest, because they say that the taste from the meat in the meaty pot will not get transferred into the pan rest, because it's two kelim shenogus there but there. The pan rest will not become meaty, and even if it did become meaty, because meat, actual meat fell onto the pan rest, but it won't get extracted subsequently when a milky pot goes on that pan rest, because if it's a clean pan rest, although the taste of the meat actually went into the pan rest, they won't get extracted later on when you put the milky keli on top of the pan rest. As we say, two tastes do not get transferred from keli to keli. So there's no question about it. If a food touch, it's definitely awesome. If one were to cook meat and milk in an oven, where either the meat and milk actually touch in the oven, or even if they're kept apart, but they would drip, there's gravy or in case of cheese, melted cheese, that would come in contact with the meat, there's no question about it, that's definitely awesome. You're actually cooking meat and milk together, they're physically touching each other. That's definitely awesome, no question about it. If they can come to touch each other, either physically or dripping or splattering or gravy, whatever it is, they come together, that's definitely awesome. Even if you want to put meat on one side of the oven and milk on the other side of the oven, on a common tray, on a single tray, that will be awesome, even if the meat and milk will never come to touch each other, because as I said, the taste of the meat will go into the tray, and will travel along the tray and come up into the milk, and vice versa, because the taste from the meat, as I said, can go into another food, it can go into a keli. And therefore, even if they're kept apart, there's no question that meat and milk were not physically touched. But if they're on the same common tray, then there's no question about it still offset, because the taste of the meat will go into the tray and absorb into the tray and then be extracted later on into the milky food, and that would happen. There's no question.
What's the difference in the tray, the oven tray and the tandra?
Oh. No, that's between two kalim. Between two kalim, the taste in one kalim will not go to another kalim.
On one tandra, it's going to have a milky pot and a meaty pot.
Oh, so one thing. I was talking about when there's meat directly on one tray and meat. Oh. There's no separation. Meat on, you have a big oven tray, and you have meat and milk far apart, but they're touching the tray. It's from food to tray. Then the taste of the meat will go into the tray. The taste of the milk will go into the tray. So, however, the only shiloh where we're discussing today is where you're cooking meat in, let's say, in an oven tin, one of these oven tins, and milk in another oven tin, and those two oven tins are now lying on the tray in the oven. So the meat in its own oven tin will make that tin meaty. The milk in that oven tray will make that tin milky. But those oven tins will, the bleach from those oven tins will not go into the common tray below it. As we said, from keli to keli, the tarm will not go. That's where the question lies. Is one permitted to cook meat and milk together in an oven where there's no sign of tarm, there's no question of tarm, because each one is in its own pot, and as I say, the pots will not be muffled the time into another tray. That's where there's no question of time. That's the question, is it mutter, is it on? Well, divine word is discussing time, so mitzvah time means there's no lid. That ought to be mutter mitzvah the time, sorry. That's what we're going to discuss. We're discussing Recha and there in a minute. But I, divine, was talking about time. Time, you can't cook together, goes into pots. But as far as time is concerned, if they're in separate pots, and the tam will never get from one to the other, it ought to be mutter. However, we have two separate shailas, and we have to take them one at a time. The first is Recha. That the Gemara discussed, the shailah in Pesachim, is Recha Mulsi, Recha La Mulsi. Every single food produces an aroma, and the Gemara discusses the aroma of meat, which travels around the oven and then goes into the other food. Is that considered meat, or is it it's nothing? It's parav, it's nothing at all. That's the sign in the Gemara. Recha nusri, recha lav nusri. The halacha is, we pass in at the mandoma, recha lav nusri. That the aroma of a food, of a meaty food, is not considered meat. The aroma of milk is not considered milk. With one proviso, and the Rishonim say it, and they learn it from the Gemara, that even the mandoma who says recha lav nusri, that the aroma produced by meat is not meat, is only the gabbe b'dievet, not the chaschila. The chaschila, one may not cook meat and milk together, because the chaschila one takes on that the recha is the realm of meat is meat, the chaschila, and that's how we pass them. The chaschila one may, so in the case we discussed, the chaschila one may not cook meat and milk in separate pots, even when there's no question of time, because although we hold recha lav nusri, that only the dear, once you cook meat and milk, somebody didn't know, he didn't realize he was cooking meat and milk in one pot. But the Eved, it will be mutter because Recha Lav Nusri. The two pots, sorry. But, Lechatchila, we hold Recha Nusri, and therefore one should not cook meat and milk together.
In the same kitchen, you've got smell of the Recha smell.
So the pots can say that big, even ovens, area. Even ovens, if they're big ovens, which we don't have nowadays, certain measurements, we hold them, even Lechatchila you can do. I don't want to get into that, I'm talking about ovens. Because if it's very big, then we hold, then even a chapchila we hold, there's nothing in the recha. Recha is only when it's in a confined area. Our ovens are considered confined area, and again, the chapchila one holds recha mutti. The dievet is smuto. Consecutively, that means first to cook meat in an oven, and then to cook milk in an oven, there's no question of recha. Recha is only to go from meat to milk when it's together. We don't say that recha goes into the walls of the oven like tam. Just as taste gets absorbed into walls of kelim, we should say that the recha also gets absorbed into the walls of the oven. We don't say that. We say that recha is only from one food to the other. But it won't, we don't say it gets absorbed into the oven, and subsequently when you cook milk, the taste will get extracted back and go back into the milk. Recha mulsihi or lav mulsihi is only again when you have two foods. One after the other, there's no problem. The gabbai is even mutter lechatchila mitzad recha. That's what comes out of the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch that we pass in recha mutter lechatchila. One shouldn't cook meat and meat together, but as the Gemara says and the Shach explains, but one after the other, consecutively, there's absolutely no problem. Mitzad recha, one could cook meat in an oven, the oven will not become fleischig as long as we said before there's no actual mamoshes of meat that touches the walls of the oven. As long as there's no bits of meat that actually touches the oven, the fact is there's an aroma of meat in the oven that will not make the oven meaty, and you can subsequently cook milk after.
So
in principle, yes.
So
we haven't finished it yet. That's what according to what we said till now. That's as far as Reka Mufi. And as far as the Gemara is concerned, again, together the Chatzili can't be the end of it. Mutter, but the Zahar Chazer is Mutter. Just by the way, the Indian of Reka Mufi is only with fatty foods, not lean foods. But either one is fatty, either the trefle one, or in the case of meat and milk, one of them is a fatty food, that's when Reka Mufi. They said those lean foods, you have a meat that's completely lean and milk, then there's no din of Reka Mufi, but that's only our Pidibri Agamora. We are Mahmi, we don't know exactly what's considered lean, what's considered fat. Therefore, it's only get all foods we hold Lechatkhila, one Mahmi, cook them together. Pidibri is okay. That's as far as Reka is concerned. The problem comes with steam, a sugi of Zeo. Steam, the sugi of Zeo, is not brought down in the Gemara. The only discussion in the Gemara is Reka. Sugi of steam is a Tshuvas HaRosh, the Torah quotes is part of the Rosh, and the whole sugi of steam is built on a Mishnah of all places in the middle of Taurus, a Mishnah in Machshirin, where the Mishnah discusses a bath of hot water which is Tomei, and the steam, Tomei Dika water, and the steam coming up from this hot bath, the Mishnah says that the whole house becomes Tomei. In other words, you have Tomei Dika water, the steam that gets produced from this hot water, we don't say it's nothing. There's nothing to this steam. This steam gets the same din as the water which would produce the steam. Just as the water is Tomei Dika water, the steam that comes out of this hot water is Tomei and is the Metama of the house. Says the Tshuva HaRosh that it's not only a din in Tumah and Tara, it's a din in Issa Dehesa, with meat and milk and all kosher foods and trade foods. Any food which is heated and produces steam, that steam will get the din of if it's meaty food, it'll be meaty. If it's milky food, it'll be meaty. If it's trefle food, the steam will be trefle. It's Negev as well in Hechsherim. A very interesting shayla that comes up in Hechsherim is in these big manufacturing plants, food manufacturing plants, where they make concentrated food, concentrated drinks. They take a drink and they boil it to get rid of the water. The water evaporates, you're left with just a concentrated food. You've got this, they don't permit the steam to escape. They keep the steam, they cool it down a bit, so it turns back into water, and they use that hot water elsewhere in the plant. If the food was grape juice, chicken soup, whatever it is, which they evaporated the water, and they just left with the concentrated food at the bottom, that water that turned into steam was evaporated has got a din of either meat to trade for meat, whatever it is, and when they use it, what looks like water elsewhere in the plant, one has to know that it's trefle water, because it was steam, it was there that came out of this food, turned back into water, it's used elsewhere in the plant as hot water, but although it looks harmless, in fact it's a sign of non-kosher water. That's the din of Zeo. Now this din of Zeo makes a big problem that we said before, that as far as Reich is concerned, the Gemara is concerned, if you cook two foods together and you only arrive at aroma, then b'dieved is mutter. And more than that, one after the other is definitely mutter. There's no question of aroma. Once the Rosh has been machadish, that's the concept of Zeo, which asks b'dieved, then we run into problems. You couldn't cook meat and milk together and even b'dieved would after. Forget the idea of aroma of Reich alav mutter b'dieved. But there's that concept of Zeo, the steam that's produced, that steam, if you cook meat and milk or trefle food and kosher food in a single oven, you have steam that's produced, that will after the other food after the b'dieved. And not only will it after b'dieved, it will after Zeo Chazer. Consecutively will also become awesome. Where we said mitzad Recha, one doesn't have to worry Zeo Chazer because no time is in the walls of the oven, but with Zeo, it's Mefush and Simon Kufches, that if we cook, for instance, meat firstly in the oven, and it produces steam, that steam carries the taste of the meat into the walls of the oven. Later on, when you cook milk, and that milk will produce steam, that will extract the meaty charm from the oven, and it will go back in the milk. It's clear in Simon Kufches, the Dovel Mevovot Medayikis, that steam doesn't only usher the walls of the oven and whatever's above it, but it will take the taste from the oven and bring it back into the food below it. So even one after the other will be also. And that's the problem, because the Gemara seems to say that if since Recha Lamutza, you're allowed to cook one food after the other, and the Diemet, even two foods together, is also okay. And we don't seem to worry about there. We have to understand that these two things work together. On one hand, we pass on Recha Lamutza, but Diemet, if you cook two foods together, it's okay. And Zeach HaZeh is definitely Mutza. On the other hand, we have this problem with Shuvah Sarosh, who tied it to this idea of Zeh, of seeing which will after Afilu B'Diemet and Afilu Zeach HaZeh. In fact, the Shuvah Mishkan is Yaakov. He asked the question. He said how can there be a concept of veil when the Gemara says Reich Halav Mutzahi? And he disagrees with the Shuvah Sarosh. He says there's no concept of steam. We don't say that there is also. Although the Mishnah in Machshirin says there's a din there as far as Tum and Tara is concerned, that it cannot apply to Issa Beheta, because if it would apply to Issa Beheta, how can the Gemara say Reich Halav Mutzahi and everything's kosher b'di Eved when there's a problem of veil? So the Mishnah is Yaakov, he disagrees with his whole concept of steam. He argues with the Ramah, but it doesn't help us because we follow the Ramah, and the Ramah clearly brings down the Shuvah Sarosh, and we have this problem of veil. The Oruch HaShulchan wants to say that the veil doesn't apply in all ovens. He says he's talking about dafka and a type of oven they used to have in those days. The oven was like a pot, and they used to put lower into this big pot, which is an oven, milky pot, a pot of milk. And then there was an opening on top of the oven. Then if you put a meaty pot at the opening of the oven, you see that the steam from the milky pot goes up into the meaty pot because there's no place for it to escape. These pots fill up the oven completely. The pot on top completely blocks the opening. It's actually airtight. Then we say that Zeah steam is a problem because Zeah has no place to escape. That's the only place where Zeah is a problem. That's how the Oruch HaShulchan learns. Anywhere where the steam can escape, we don't say that anything in its way is there will last. If you have two pots in our oven, where the meat is on the top and the milk is on the bottom, let's forget Recha a minute, then the steam already goes up, it's got place to escape, there's a vent, they can escape out of the oven as well, there's no problem with Zeah. That's how the Oruch HaShulchan learned that Zeah is not a problem only in the ovens of the olden days. There's many, many rides not like the Oruch HaShulchan. The many lives on the Oruch HaShulchan. Or it can escape above the pot as well.
But above the pot against
the roof. Are there no vents in the oven?
They
must escape it then, though, because it goes up. Lamiach is right. In the Ramah says Mefurash, not like that. The Ramah says even in a pot, you have an open pot on a stove, and you have cooking milk, and you have a piece of meat hanging up above the pot, the zeah, the steam produced by the milk underneath, will after the piece of meat that's hanging, that's been suspended above the pot. Although clearly, the steam can escape from the pot, there's no question about it. That's also halacha. Some people have spatulas and ladles hanging above the gas, so one has to be careful. Because of the zeah, come to the Oruch HaShulchan, since the zeah can escape, there's no zeah in zeah. But the way it is clear from the Ramah, Achronim, clear Medak, not like the Oruch HaShulchan, there is a problem even in not in a confined place where it can't escape. Even where it can escape, at the end of the day, it goes up and it asks what's above it. There is Mipia Shmur, a heter from Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's not printed in Shuvahs. In fact, in Shuvahs it's much more like that. The Rav Moshe Feinstein was Tomech on the Oruch HaShulchan. Now, nowadays, where there can escape, it's not a problem in ovens. If you wait 24 hours before you use the oven, if you've waited 24 hours, where anyway the time in the walls of the oven is problem, but the oven will be mutter, if you wait 24 hours between meat and milk, then one can be tomech on the Oruch HaShulchan that there is not a problem nowadays. But clearly in Shuvah Gemara it doesn't hold that. We hold that there is a problem even if it can escape. Finally, at the end of the day, the there does hit the roof of the oven, it does usher it, and it will make the oven fleshy. If you then cook milk underneath, then the charm from the meat will come out the next time you cook and go into the milk. So at the end of the day, we still have to get clear what are the parameters of Zeah. Zeah can't be all-encompassing, because if it was all-encompassing, why does the Gemara say Reich Halav Mulsehi, B'dievede Halav Mulsehi, and one after the other is okay when you have a problem with Zeah?
Maybe
Moshe Feinstein works, he's got three heterim, three snippim lahatir, and we have to work them through carefully. The first is his medayik from the Ramo in Simon Kufcher, that steam is only a problem if one actually sees the steam, one can actually see the food producing steam. It could be in certain circumstances where it's in a big open area, there isn't a lot of steam that's produced that goes up. And even in an oven, if it's only a little bit of food, and possibly one could argue that if you don't see the steam, doesn't have to be cast the veil. And that in itself would be a touch to the Gemara and Pesachim. The Gemara and Pesachim was talking about in the case where you saw that there wasn't much steam, it didn't hit the walls of the oven. That's one heter, where you don't see the steam being produced. The other sub heter is, the Prima Godin wants to suggest that this whole din, that steam, has got the same din as what, like a tumah dikabah, the steam is tome, meat, the steam is meat, and milk, the steam is milk, is only on solids, only on foodstuffs, only on liquids. Liquids, the steam produced has got the same din as the liquid itself. On foodstuffs, on food, solid foods, even if the solid food has been melted, and now it's turned into a liquid, one doesn't say that the zeil is got the same din as the thing that produces it. He's medakit from the Rambam, when the Rambam brings down a Mishnah in Machshirin, the Gabriel Tomei Bath, the Rambam says it only applies to liquid and not to food, that even if the food's been melted, it doesn't apply. Therefore, there's another sniff lehatin, that whenever it's a food stuff, even if there is zeil produced, there's no din that is there from meat, if it's a dry piece of meat that's been roasted, whatever it is, that the zeil of that meat has got a din of meat. If it's melted, for instance, cheese, which is melted in an oven, and according to that, one can be making it only when it's pure liquid. That's how the Prima Godin is with that in the Rambam. Those two mahalchim would answer the Gemara Pesachim that Reicha Lav Nosi would be in the case either way you didn't see the steam, you only have to worry about Reicha, or it's talking about a solid food where again you don't have to worry about Zeya only Reicha. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein is not happy with either of those two attainments, but he says if you've got the two together, i.e. it's a solid food and you don't see Zeya being produced, then one can be Seimach that there's no din there. So if you have a solid food, a dry food, and you cook it in a milky oven, then and you don't see it producing there, then one can be certain there's no din there, and as long as you don't cook it together, there's no problem with Reicha. One can cook this meaty food in a milky oven if it's a dry food and you don't see there, with the two together, then Moshe Feinstein says one can be certain there's no there, and even if there is there, possibly with dry food, one can be saying that the dry food is there, hasn't got a din of that food, and then only then the Moshe Feinstein was mucking. That's all if it's a dry food you don't see there. However, a lot of our foods have got liquids in them and we do see there, so you couldn't use that heter. So then the Moshe says the other heter to do is to cover a food. If you cover a food while it's cooking in an oven, then the zeil will not escape. You can cover it clearly, completely covered with a piece of silver foil or a lid, then clearly the zeil will not go through the lid and will not have the oven. If you take, for instance, you have a meaty oven, you use an oven normally for meat. You always use the oven for meat, then clearly the oven is meaty. Later on, once every so often you want to cook milk in it, if you put that pot of milk and you cover it, and although it's a meaty oven, the zeil will not get out of the pot because it's been covered. The tam of the meat from the oven will never get into the pot because there is no zeil in the oven because the pot is being covered. There are poskim who argue that Moshe, they hold that the heter to cover a food to stop the zeil cutting out is not lechatchila. The remark is one shouldn't be saying of lechatchila, but Moshe Feinstein in subsequent tshuva says clearly that's not pshat in the remark, and lechatchila one can be saying if one has an exclusively meaty oven to cook milk in it later as long as it's covered. Well, if it's a clean oven, and you're worried about doing it to clean it once. If it's a dirty oven, you're worried about.
Double wrapping
is better, but the other, if it's a clean oven, one can be saying that
anything
more.
An airplane, you have a paper oven, and they put the double wrap, so therefore the fitter is.
There's a different problem. There's a problem because maybe my moshel for food will go onto the silver foil, and the tam will then go into the food. you have two pieces of silver foil, then even Mamosh Patu goes into the first one, the Talmud will not go from one piece to the other piece, as we said, which in two kelim. Yeah. So if you have a clean oven and there's no other food cooking in it, there's a problem of it's purely a problem of Zeya, and if you cover it once, the Zeya will not escape. Yeah? It's got to be tight. There's a little hole there, and then you escape.
But you're
then
going to cost a little bit
of Zeya. One has to be tight, a little bit of Zeya as well.
But the other
end is only it's only makila it can't be there if it's a
field.
It has to be covered well. There are sometimes foods that can't be covered. For instance, you want to make a cheesecake. Cheesecake has got a problem that she's going to melt it in liquid. You can't cover a cheesecake while it's baking. You want to bake in a misty oven. Now you have a problem. You've got none of that there. It's a liquid. It'll produce, and by liquids we're machin if we won't produce there. We can't cover it over. You want to bake the cheesecake in a meaty oven. You haven't got any attainment with Mr. Feinstein. Here's some of the possible I make you if one would kasher the oven from between the meat and the milk. It's always used for meaty. Normally one's not allowed to kasher, take a flesh crockery, fresh cutlery and kasher to become milky. One can only kasher if a meaty becoming meaty, become tray to return it back to its original matter. But to go from meat to milk, one not come normally kasher, but others say with ligon is permitted. It's a big shine in the poskim how to kasher ovens. Those who are made to say that one can kasher from meat to milk in ovens, and one can do it with a ligon kal, i.e., the way to do it, a ligon kal, is to turn the oven onto the, we haven't got much time now, but to turn the oven onto its maximum temperature for 1 hour. Leave it on its maximum temperature for 1 hour, make sure it's completely clean the oven, and if one turns the temperature of the oven to maximum, to its maximum temperature for 1 hour, one could consider it, as I say, kashering. There are problems, as I say, kashering from meaty to milk. Some say the type of the porcelain that they use, and others, the question might be carriers. Overall, one can't kasher. Some say turning up to the highest temperature won't do, it's not even a nibon kal. But there are many possibilities that say that we're not wired for these three chashoshes. And again, if you turn the temperature up to a maximum temperature for 1 hour in a clean oven, there are possibilities that say that would be considered kashering, and one could kasher it from a meaty oven to bake, let's say, a cheesecake which couldn't be covered, or vice versa with the other.